a group of thieves who broke into a jewelry store, and they did something interesting. They haven't stolen anything from the jewelry store. They just changed the price tags. So very next day, when the shoppers came in, they have no clue. So all those who wanted to buy the costly things carried the worthless things. And those who can't afford the costly jewelries carried the treasures out. And this world is the jewelry store. And most of us here in this world are chasing after worthless things because this world has tagged costly price tags for this worthless things. And very few are chasing after true treasures, a true treasure, Christ Himself. And that's the passage that we are going to look today. But before we go into this passage, and this is the fear that I have. Even after listening to this word, there is a danger that you might go back and live the same life. We see from this passage, as we sang from this morning, Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 is our scripture portion today, where Jesus Christ says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There you should put all your energy." But my fear is that you may not be changing your lifestyle. I know there is wide, the age group is 16 to 30, I guess, for the awake, but now we have some exceptions. 16 to 19 teenagers, you might be putting all your energy chasing after finding the one, you know, beautiful girlfriend, handsome hunk. And if you are 20s, maybe you are in your graduation, thinking of getting into a good career and putting all your focus on that. And if you are 25 to 30, you might have been already working in some sector and looking for better salaries, putting all your efforts. That's why many people didn't show up. The chairs that are empty, because they are working for the worthless price tags, jewelries. And today, as you see from the scripture portion, I pray that you will cultivate convictions in your life. And I pray that you'll go back, change the thing. You know, Proverbs 13:19 says, "A desire fulfilled is a sweet to the soul, but to turn away from evil is an abomination to fools." To turn away from evil, when you know this is evil and you don't turn away, you're a fool. And Proverbs 14:16 says, "One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil." That's a challenge. Fool, or you will be wise. You choose. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. Our scripture portion for this session is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But for the context, we're going to read from verse 24. Verse 24 to 34. I'm reading from ESV version. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, there are four gospels, and every gospel has its own focus about Jesus Christ's life. Matthew's gospel. Matthew wrote this gospel to show Jesus as Messiah, the King who has been promised in the Old Testament. And from this passage, as we have read, this passage is from his preaching. It is the Sermon on the Mount. And if you know the theme, that is the King preaching about his own kingdom, teaching his people to be righteous as this King is righteous. And in this passage, as we have seen, Jesus Christ, he is trying to separate his people. You see, he says, you don't be anxious about what you will eat, drink, wear. Gentiles seek after all these things. You shouldn't be seeking. Your Father knows. But you be separate, set apart, holy. You seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first the kingdom of God. And we have seen verse 24. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve two masters. How will you know whom you are serving today? This is a question. Whom you are serving today? God or money? Many might be thinking that I am serving God. But the question is, how will you know that you are serving God? Jesus Christ said, don't be anxious. If you are anxious for something, that's your God. If you are anxious for earthly things, for money is your God. But if you are anxious for his kingdom, he is your God. You see? Now even Christians, we say Jesus is our God. He is first in our lives. Yet we want money. Right? That's why we have this new trend now, going abroad, settling, chasing after the comforts of this world. See, we have to be also sensitive. I'm not expecting Terrell to stay back here. He has to leave. This is not his place. And some spouses, they are not from India, so they have to leave. There are exceptions. But I'm talking about people who are leaving, abandoning families, the churches of God, so that they might go out and make their barns big. You know what Bible calls them? Jesus in Luke chapter 12 verse 15 said, take care. Sorry. James chapter 4 verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you, in verse 14 it says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for little time, then vanishes. And Jesus in Luke chapter 12 said, take care and be on guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he gives an parable of the rich fool who plans about making his barns big. this trend of leaving the churches and going abroad to make money, that shows who they are, what they are treasuring. These are not William Careys, they are not Henry Martins, who left everything, who went abroad to make Christ known. They are going and preaching, money is good, money is my God, and I cherish in my money. And they are going abroad and sharing this thing. See how many times Jesus Christ in the same passage warned about this. Matthew chapter 6:19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy. Don't try to have big bank balances on this earth. Matthew chapter 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Matthew chapter 6:32. For Gentiles seek after all these things. Matthew chapter 6:31. Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Verse 34 again. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow. You see the repetition, how many times Jesus in this small passage, verses 19 to 34, again and again, emphasizing, don't be anxious. Don't chase after this money, this world. Don't chase after this world, riches of this world. But what should I do? He says in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and then seek materialism. That's what he said. Is that? Seek first the kingdom of God and second materialism. Mission materialism is our goal in our lives. But Jesus says, no, seek first the kingdom of God. That's our Messiah's mission. And that's what our theme today. We should stop this mission materialism, cut off that materialism and put mission Messiah. That is to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And there is, if you see that verse, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and does it say seek all other things later? No. You have to seek only one thing. There is only one priority in your life. That's his kingdom. There is no other priority. I'm sorry. There is no first, I have God as my first priority, second my family, and then church. No. There is only one priority in your life as Christ and his kingdom. And throughout the Bible I searched, seek. There is no other command that is written. There is no second. First kingdom of God, I have seen even not just in this passage, there is no other verse talked about seeking other things. Only once in Colossians, Paul said, seek. And even there he said, if you then have been raised with Christ, you are already in Christ, you can seek after materialism. That's not what he said. He said, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. Even he said the same. You have to seek. Put all your energy in seeking Christ and his kingdom. And it should be first. In time, in importance, in everything. Seek first. When Pastor Stephen Cole, he gave an illustration about keeping the priorities. He took a big jar and filled the jar with the fist-sized stones. And he asked the students, okay, is this jar full? And students replied, yes. And he said, no. He took sand and poured into this jar. And he asked them, is this jar full? They're smart now. They said, no. Good. He took water and he poured a little more. And up to the brim. And he asked, is this full? Now the students are hesitant to say, is it full? And he said, what's the lesson? He asked them, what's the lesson? What do we learn from this? One student replied, no matter what we have in our schedule, we can keep on adding the tasks. He said, no, that's not the lesson that we are learning. If you don't put the stones first, you wouldn't be able to put the stones now. You don't put God first, you can't put God in your schedule. Only one priority, Christ. And to achieve this mission, okay, I'm sorry, we use PPTs, so we achieve this mission of our Messiah with three commitments. Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our King, commanded us to take these three commitments Christ commands us to make from the scripture portion. Verse 33, first and foremost, seek first the kingdom. That is, we have poured out our lives to see Christ worshipped. Pour out your life to see Christ worshipped. Seek first the kingdom. And what is kingdom? Now, this is the question. What is kingdom? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. But what is the kingdom? Some like millennium kingdom. There's going to be a millennial reign. Some say this, it's the church. And some say it's our hearts. And that's all true. But we are trying to understand from this context. And the basic idea of the kingdom is, there is a king. And there is his reign. And some realm, whatever capacity that the king has. So wherever this king's reign is, there is his kingdom. You see? So the kingdom is not about the kingdom. The kingdom about the king. Kingdom is all about the king. It's not about the kingdom, the realm. It's about the king and his reign. I don't know, you got this? Kingdom is all about the king's reign. And Christ's kingdom, he said kingdom of God. This is the prominent theme of Jesus Christ's preaching. The kingdom starts first when you confess him as Lord of your lives. Romans chapter 10 verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is Christ your king? This is where you start seeking the kingdom. Confessing him as Lord of your life. And he is. And grow to see his dominion, his reign in your own life. You long to see his dominion in your life, all the areas of your life. That is seeking the kingdom. Seeking his reign over your lives. And he says, seek first the kingdom. And this word seek, it's used also in Matthew chapter 18, where this man with 100 sheep, when one is lost, he leaves 99 sheep and he goes on search for this one sheep. You see? So he leaves everything to find out this one sheep. Single-minded, supreme goal. This verb seek gives this idea that this desire in this heart will lead this person to go to the ends. And even Luke chapter 15 verse 8, this woman who lost one coin from the 10 coins, she lights the lamp and she sweeps the house, seeks diligently to find out that coin. So to find out that coin, she does everything, whatever it is required, you see? And that should be our intensity in seeking the kingdom. We should seek the kingdom vigorously. We should seek Christ's reign in our lives vigorously. And I come from a whole, like, not village, not a city, though. So, yeah, town. Yeah, it's a town. So, for festivals or some special occasions, they used to do the firecrackers things, and I don't know what it's called. It's like skyrockets. We call skyrockets. They light up. And then all the kids in the street, they are all chasing after the skyrockets. After it is done, one stick will fall down. And the kids are collecting those sticks. I know it sounds meaningless, but that's fun. And they're all quick. I couldn't get anything. So I said, no, Daryl, now the next one is mine. I set my heart. And just as it went into the sky, I have no idea what's happening here. My eyes are towards that stick. And after it's done, there is only little red color. In the dark sky, there is only red color I can see in the sky. And I'm running after it. I have no clue where I'm running. I ran into paddy fields. And then after catching it, okay, I got it. Vigorously. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what people think. I want Christ's reign in my life. You see, that should be your goal. You don't have to feel shy to be a Christian, to read Bible, to pray. We have to seek His kingdom vigorously. If you have some physical health problems, we go to a doc, see, take medication. We take it seriously. Even in the education, in the school, if you get less grades, special classes. How about His kingdom in your own lives? How much do you spend on it? Brother, I'm struggling, brother. Please pray for me. And then people come and just casually share their sins. There is no sense of fear. Okay, you're struggling? Let me spend time. Can you come every week? Can we spend some time? Oh, no, brother. See, I have a busy schedule. My office hours are very, tight. Come on. Seek first. You know what Jesus Christ said about this? You can cut your hand, eye, if it is necessary. Better to go to heaven rather than going to hell with all your body parts. Seek vigorously His kingdom. If your eye causes to sin, tear it out. Tear it out. How can we practically see Christ as King of our life? If you're a student, be a faithful student. See, now, the education has lost its meaning. See, the purpose of education is that we grow in wisdom and virtue. But now we study so that we might make ourselves marketable. Sell ourselves with better prices. And sadly, sometimes that's what we teach. I was also taught. I'm confessing, even my parents sent me to engineering so that I can earn good money. I confess. But that should not be the goal. We should be students who want to grow in wisdom and virtue. And you should study not for marks. Irrespective of how much marks you're getting, you keep on growing in the knowledge and wisdom. If you're setting for ranks, if you get first rank in the class, you'll stop studying. Don't stop. You keep on studying. Why? Christ is my King. This is the responsibility He gave to me. And I will be a good student. And if you're employed, as the Bible says, don't serve for the masters of this earth, serve for the master who is above. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with sincere heart, as you would to Christ. So, irrespective of your workload or what work responsibility, you can add, keep on adding if you can do. And serve your organization in a better way. And show Christ is your King. They might ask you, you don't have to do this. I know, but I want to give to the organization. Why? Not for the salary hikes. Just to show. Just to give to the company. you are married, in your relationships, if you have a terrible spouse, love him, her. Why? Not because you have a wonderful spouse, because Christ is your Lord and he commanded to love. And you want them to see Christ glorious. Christ is king of my life. And that's why I do all these things. Christ is king of us. So for that, pour out your life. Pour out. Spend time, energy towards that. Pour out your life to see Christ worshipped. Everybody should see Christ being worshipped. Everybody should see Christ. When you are submitting to lordship of Christ, that is the true worship. This is worship service that we sing and all, but the true worship starts when you leave this campus, when you go out to live Christian life, when you submit to the Lord in your life, day-to-day life. Pour out your life to see Christ worship. And the second commitment Christ commands us to make is to strive to see Christ's likeness in your own life. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, this maths principle, 2 (A + B) is equal to 2A + 2B. Seek first into his kingdom plus seek first into his righteousness. So the seek first applies even for this. Seek first his righteousness. And now this is people in the church, even the, I won't say mature Christian, but who stayed for a long time, also confused with this righteousness. Because once I invited everyone to for the communion, I said, everyone who are walking with the Lord in holiness, please, I invite you forward to take part in Lord's table. And brother came and said, he confronted me, Daryl, you said, walking in righteous life, holy life, what do we have other than Christ? Oh, you, that sounds so spiritual. So now you're mixing two teachings of the Bible. Yes and amen. Christ is our righteousness. That is called justification. But we are called to live a righteous life. That is sanctification. Now I am using big words to make sure that you know I went to seminary. That's not the goal. Justification. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore, we have now been justified by his blood. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. We are justified by his blood, by his death. We are justified. So this is the legal declaration from our God saying this wretched sinner Daryl, just because he repented and kept his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am canceling all his record. Take this report. Jesus Christ's righteousness, imputed righteousness is given to me. So positionally, when God looks at me, now I have chashma because I have my sight problem. God looks at me with Jesus Christ shades. Jesus Christ blood shades. So he looks through the blood of Jesus Christ and I look sinless. As Christ. No sin. Because Christ paid. And this is one time. One act. Once for all, done. When you repent, put your faith in Jesus Christ, done. You're justified. You're as pure as Jesus Christ. That is positionally, not actually. I know who I am. And some of my church members, most of my church members. But justification is done so that we might be reconciled with the God and walk in communion with him. That is sanctification. He called us so that we might be set apart and live a holy life. Romans 8:29. You know one thing. This is the one thing that is God doing in your life. One thing that you should be doing is seeking his kingdom. One thing that God is doing in your life is this. Romans 8:29. Conforming you to the image of his son. conforming to the image of his son. That's sanctification. That's why Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We should seek holiness, Christ-likeness in our own lives. For that, you have to strive, work hard, pour out your life. Seek holiness, live like Christ. And you know, Paul says, Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. This is the pastor's heart. He wants to see his church members to be like Christ. And for that, he is going through the pains. He says, anguish of childbirth. Christ brought us out of this drainage of sin so that we might walk purely with him. Now, we are all legalists, Pharisees in our minds. When we talk about holiness, you know, walking with God. Yes, tomorrow morning 5 o'clock, I am going to read the Bible 1 hour. And going to pray for 1 hour on my knees. And you try to do some outward things, you know. But that's not what Christ expects from you. That's not what God expects. Even in sanctification, Christ is the center. It's not following the set of rules. It's following God. You know, in the Old Testament, when people, Israel, failed to live according to the commandments of God, you know what God said in Jeremiah chapter 2? Jeremiah chapter 2, he said, be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. If you don't follow the commandments of God, you are not just failing to follow the commandments. That's not the thing. The main thing is you are abandoning the God. See, when you're trying to follow a set of rules, then you'll say, oh, okay, I didn't wake up 5 o'clock. At least I woke up 6 o'clock, read at least 15 minutes. So I got at least pass marks, 35 marks. I'm okay. That's how you will think when you're following set of rules. But when you're walking with the Lord, that is holiness, it's not about the set of rules. It's about treasuring Christ. I want to be intimate with him. You see? So you will do things. You will wake up early to know him more. You read the Bible to know him more. You pray more because you know you can't be like him by yourself. You ask his help. You see, everything is about him. Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to be with you. I want your grace. You see, it's about him. And you don't think I woke up 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock? No, that's not the point. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. It's about loving Jesus. Work at your heart. Don't try to be 70% student, 90% student. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators of God. Jesus Christ. Paul Washer says, guys, you don't have to be like Britney Spears. You don't have to be like Alia Bhatt. You don't have to be like Hrithik Roshan. You have to be like Jesus Christ. Work towards that. This is the greatest calling that we have, to partake in this divine nature, to imitate the great King Christ himself. And we are all like Simba, Hakuna Matata. We have a great responsibility, but we just want to have picnic in this world. Hakuna Matata, no worries. I have taken my card, fire insurance is done, I repented, I am baptized, I attend church, I am going heaven, let me have my picnic here. Don't be like Simba. Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up your cross daily and follow me. Follow him. He is satisfying. He is better than what you are chasing after. You are chasing after worthless things. He is the true treasure. He's worth following. That's the second commitment. Strive to see Christ-likeness in your own life. And the third, it's actually a promise. And I turned it as a commitment. The promise, he says, that all things will be added unto you. I said, the third commitment is, be content with God's provision. Why did Jesus say here, all these things will be added to you? Father cares for you. And he is going to give you. And he says, all, without exception. Mark chapter 1 verse 29. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake, for the gospel, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children. Chase after him. Don't worry. Your family, you are losing lands, you are losing family. Don't worry. You will receive hundredfold. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then? What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. That's why Paul says in Philippians 4:19. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches. This is a gracious promise of God that all these things will be added unto you. And he builds the confidence. You see the argument that he's making from the above? In verse 25 he says, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, drink. Because he says, is not life more than food and body more than clothing? So life is given by God. Will he not provide food? The body given by God, will he not provide you clothing? See, he's making this argument. And he says, verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They don't go to psychiatrists. They don't have anxiety issues. Okay? Because they're fed by the Father. 6:28, don't be anxious about your clothing. The lilies, they don't go to fashion designers. They were, again, Father providing them the clothing. He builds the confidence. He cares for you. He will give you. But that's not what I want you to see there. The main focus, he says, is, and all these things will be added onto you. Now we have American culture. Some we appreciate. We go now, it's very tough to order food. You know? Okay. Okay, I want chicken burger. I want cheese, sir. Cheese, extra cheese. You want chips, fries? They call it add-ons, you know. So God is saying here, and all these things will be added onto you. This is not the food. This is not what you're getting. You see, this food and clothing. These are just add-ons. What is the main thing that you're going to get? God Himself, Christ Himself. You see, he is the main person here. You will get the gospel offers God and you will have him. And these are the add-ons, okay? It's okay even if you don't have this. You can eat without cheese. Ask Paul. Apostle. He said, Apostle Paul, writing to 1 Timothy, he is encouraging him. He told, food, bed. No, food, clothing. That's enough. Not even bed, shelter. That's enough. Let's be content. Now, there is a great gain. Sorry, 1 Timothy 6:6. Now, there is a great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into... This is a need that Jesus is talking about. Don't worry about that, he says. You will have salvation, Christ himself, and all these things will be added unto you. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings. Nothing is left. You have everything. And Christ is everything. Amen. As you heard this, I just want to close with this warning that John says in 1 John 2:15, don't be tempted after going out to chase after these worthless things. Do not love the world or the things of this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father, complete it, is not in him. James is very bold man. I wish I could be like him. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Actually, he's a humble man. Humble man, humble enough to point our sins directly. You're trying to be friends with the world and also trying to be friend with God. That's not going to happen. The real face of a fake spirituality is seen in this dualism, in an attempt to hold the world and God in both, with the both hands. That's the face of fake spirituality. Trying to attempt to serve God and money. Chasing the world and saying that we are also chasing God. Christ is enough. He is the true treasure. Here, from this scripture portion, Jesus Christ is saying, chase after the real treasure, which you can't see with your own, with these eyes. I pray that God might open your eyes to see the true treasure, Christ himself. We'll close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the scripture portion. And as we learn from this passage, I pray that we will keep Christ as our only priority and seek his reign in our own lives and his likeness in our own lives. And help us to be content, not to be tempted when we go out to the world, Lord. Help us not to love the world. Help us to hate the world and love you, Father. And help us to see how glorious Christ is, how satisfying he is. We submit this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.